Joy to the world, for light is returning and the sun will come again. Joy to all who celebrate here on this night the story of love made human, the story of a life dedicated to inclusion, to peace, and to welcome. Joy to the world, for unto us is born the flame of commitment, the light of the world which calls us to be present with one another. Come, let us celebrate here together. Please take a minute to turn and greet your neighbor. We will light the chalice this evening with the words of Howard Thurman.
Candles of joy, despite all sadness. Candles of hope, where despair keeps watch. Candles of courage, where fear is ever present. Candles of peace for tempest-tossed days.
I will light candles this Christmas season. Candles of grace to ease heavy burdens. Candles of love to inspire all that is living. Candles that will burn all year long. Let us join in celebration of life and love. Please stand as you are willing and able and join me in our opening carol, number 253, O Come All You Faithful. Thank you. We're going to join together and do a responsive reading. Kelly will be reading her lines, and then we will all join together. You'll follow me, and our response is, "For so the faithful come." So Kelly's going to do a line, and then we will all reply, "For so the faithful come."
By many paths we have arrived in this place at this hour.
For so the faithful come.
We come whether we are alone or surrounded by those we love.
For so the faithful come.
We come whether our hearts are full of joy or sorrow.
For so the faithful come.
We come whether we are weary or strong.
For so the faithful come.
We come whether doubt clouds our vision or clear light illuminates our souls.
For so the faithful come.
We come to find peace and inspiration from music and words and timeless stories.
For so the faithful come.
We come to pause amidst the hurry of the season and be renewed by the healing grace of Christmas Eve.
For so the faithful come. For so the faithful have ever come.
Soul felt its worth.
Many of you are familiar with the Christmas story as it appears in Luke and on a Charlie Brown Christmas. We all know that version. But tonight we're going to talk about a version that's a little different. This is a retelling of the infancy gospel of James, a version of the Nativity that was removed from the modern Christian Bible a long time ago. And it speaks of Jesus being born as a thing of great love, both human and divine. And this is in modern English. I've translated it to very modern English. A long time ago, near Judea, the wealthiest people in town were a couple named Joaquin and Anna. And he was in his 60s and she was in her 40s, and they had never had a child, even though they were very righteous. These were good people. Joaquin was terribly troubled by this, and after a priest told him he couldn't sacrifice first at the altar because he had no children, he went out without telling his wife what he was going to do, and he went into the desert, and he was resolved that he wasn't going to eat or drink or anything until God spoke to him and let him know how to be right with this. Hearing what he had done from the shepherds who saw him leaving, his wife mourned that now she was both childless and a widow. This went on for weeks. And her servant finally told her, "Okay, enough. Enough of this. There's a festival in town. You're childless. You're a widow. Go on with your life." So Anna put on her most beautiful dress, the dress she had been married in, and a headband that identified her as wealthy and royal. And she went into town to join the Roman soldiers and the Jews and all the different folks who had come to celebrate the festival. A month later, Joaquin felt that God had indeed spoken to him in some way, so he came back home. And Anna met him at the gate and told him that their prayers had been answered. She was a month pregnant. Joaquin wasn't a fool, but he loved his wife and he wasn't sure what to do. So he went to make sacrifice at the temple with the same priest that had turned him away, figuring, "If he lets me do this, surely God speaks to him, it must be okay." And the priest welcomed him and took his sacrifice. And Joaquin went home and rejoiced with his wife that their prayers had been answered, that they would have a child. Their daughter, Mary, was born, and she was beautiful. They protected her from everything evil or coarse. When she was two, they were supposed to take her to the temple to let her be raised by the priest, but they couldn't bear to do it because they loved her so much. They waited until she was three. So at three, they took her, and she was raised in the temple, and the priest loved her. This was a beautiful child. But when she was 12, she became an adult. So you have a beautiful 12-year-old little girl who's been raised in the temple, raised with only the best, and now she has to find a husband in a small town. And the priests were not idiots. They knew that every unmarried man in town would fight for this child whose parents were so wealthy. So they asked the men to cast lots, all of them, widowers, unmarried men, anyone who didn't have a wife but it was of marriageable age. They passed out rods, and they went among them until they found the man who had the right stick. Mary had been won by an elderly widower named Joseph, and Joseph was deeply ashamed and uncertain of what to do. He had two grown sons in his house who were older than his new fiancée. But the priest held firm, and he took her home. A few days later, he was called to work out of town. He was busy building housing and furniture. He was a carpenter. All went well for a few weeks, but a month or so after he left, the priest suddenly called Mary back to the temple to help with some weaving. And from there, she went to stay with her cousin. She was in the temple for 3 months and with her cousin for three, and when Joseph came home, he was amazed to find her 6 months pregnant. He was terrified that he would be blamed for not protecting this person he saw as a beautiful child. He didn't know what to do. And he went and spoke to the priest, those same priests who had raised this beautiful child. And the talk went back and forth because the penalty for doing this was death. And eventually the priest decided with them that God must have done this and that he should take his fiance and it would be okay. Joseph and Mary left town soon after to return to Joseph's birthplace for a Roman census. They had almost made it to Bethlehem when she went into labor. And Joseph ran for a midwife, but when he returned with the woman, Mary had already given birth in the cave where he had left her. She named the child Emmanuel, or God with us. Together with his fiancée and the child, Joseph went into Bethlehem and stayed for 2 years. 2,000 plus years later, we look on this with jaded and sometimes sophisticated eyes and see that there are indeed miracles of love, acceptance, joy that produced this tiny child and his mother. And surely for that young girl, her child must have been the greatest miracle of all time. How much can it teach us about how much love there is in this world? Here ends the first lesson. Please stand as you are able and join me in number 231, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you. The second lesson is from the writings of Max A. Kapp. We see the holy fire flaming this night in the manger cradle, and it signifies hope and promise to lift against the darkness of the night. Many there have been in other centuries and other years who have been guardians of this flame. They have carried it to the shadowed regions of the world. They have dispelled ignorance and superstition and cruelty and injustice. They have been way showers and light bearers. They have thrown back the frontiers of darkness and planted the sacred torches boldly in far and perilous places. Now it is our watch. Now the light will move from the manger cradle to the silent and saddened and songless streets of the world, only if our hearts carry it and our hands shield it from the blasts of the wintry selfishness. Many are the windows of the world that will stay darkened unless we light them. It is our watch now. Come then, great hearts. Come, dreamers and singers and poets. Come, builders. Come, healers. Come, those of the soil and those who command the might of machines. Carry the sacred flame and make the light the windows of the world. It is we who must be the keepers of the flame. It is we who must carry the imperishable fire. It is our watch now. Here ends the lesson.
Keeping this is Christ
third lesson. An old Buddhist said, "Tell me, what is this day you cherish so that you call Christmas?" And the stranger from the West said, "Christmas is not a day, really. It is light, I think. It comes when days are shortest and darkest and hearts despair. And it reminds us that winter death is a temporary thing and that light and life are eternal. And it is hope, for it demonstrates how kind and generous and self-forgetting human beings can be. And we know that what people can be sometimes, they can, if they will, be most times. And assuredly it is love. It's a symbol of a newborn babe, warm and safe in his mother's arms. To be sure, he was born a long, long time ago. Yet through the ages, his influence, as he became a man, and the truths he taught and the love he incarnated have proved stronger and dearer in matters that matter most than all kings and armies and governments of history. Oh, whatever else it may be, Christmas indeed is love." "I think I understand," the old Buddhist said. "Christmas is like a lotus blossom. When it blooms, it holds, as in a chalice, the beauty of the world." "Yes, you do understand," said the stranger from the West. "When it comes, Christmas brings the light that redeems us from darkness, the hope that casts out fear, and the love that overcomes the world. It is Christmas. We rejoice, and suddenly the lotus blooms." Here ends this lesson.
Thank you.
On this sacred night, let us take a moment to sit together in silence, to listen to the beating of our hearts and the songs of the universe. Please join me in silent prayer or meditation. Please stand as you are willing and able and join me in singing number 245, Joy to the World. Just as we have been given the gift of a life and teachings worth emulating, an example of lived values and love personified, so do we give gifts at this time of the year. Now's the time for you to give yourself a gift to support the life and work of the church, with it, which in turn supports your life and work. The offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received with joy. The fourth and last lesson today is a little more modern, something some of you may have seen and some not. But the message is quite beautiful. There was a story in the Christian Century, and it was actually about 17 years ago. Harriet Ritchie, who was a minister, wrote and told about an incident in her family's life that revealed to her what Christmas really, really looked like. Following their church's midnight mass service, Harriet's family decided to stop somewhere for a really late breakfast. And the only place, of course, that was open that late on Christmas Eve was a truck stop. So you all can imagine what this looked like. They're in their nicest clothes. She's wearing heels. The kids are in small suit jackets. Everybody looks good. And here they come to a truck stop. There were a few big diesel 18-wheelers outside, and inside some truckers sat at the counter. A jukebox played a country song that went something like, "When you leave, walk out backwards, so I think you're coming in." On the front window were all the multicolored blinking lights, the kind you can buy cheap. The place smelled like bacon grease and stale cigarette smoke. A one-armed guy stood behind the counter flipping burgers and pancakes. The family squeezed into a booth, and a thin little waitress named Rita sauntered over. She managed a tired smile and handed them some menus. And Harriet looked around, and she felt quite a bit like a snob and pretty out of place. Her family had just come from a service of earth-shattering beauty, ethereal. And soon they'd be going back home to their beautiful home for the night. And she was thinking, one day we'll look back on this and laugh and say, "Hey, remember that Christmas Eve, the one we had to eat at the truck stop? That awful music, those tacky lights." She was still staring out the window when an old Volkswagen van drove up. And a very young man with a beard and patched jeans got out. And he walked around and he opened the door for a young lady who was holding a baby. And they hurried inside and they took a booth. When Rita, the waitress, went to take their order, the baby started to cry, and neither of the young parents could calm him or comfort him. And Rita reached over and held out her arms and said, "Sit down and drink your coffee, honey. Let me see what I can do." It was so evident that she'd done this before with her own kids. She started talking and walking around the place. She showed the baby to one of the big old truckers, who started whistling and making silly faces. And the baby finally stopped crying. She showed him the blinking lights on the window and the smudge smeared lights on the jukebox. She brought him over to Harriet's table and said, "Just look at the little darling. My kids are so big and grown. Look at this little guy." The one-armed fellow behind the counter brought a pot of coffee over to the table, and as he refilled their mugs, Harriet felt tears in her eyes and really had a fight to keep from crying. And her husband wanted to know what was wrong. "Nothing," she said, just Christmas." She got in her purse and got out a Kleenex and a couple of quarters, said, "Go see if you can find some Christmas songs on the jukebox to the kids." And when they'd left, Harriet looked at her husband and she said, with her face just absolutely raw, "He'd come here, wouldn't he?" "Who?" her husband asked. "Jesus," Harriet said. "If he was going to be born in this town tonight, and the choices were our neighborhood, our church, or this truck stop, he'd be here, wouldn't he?" Her husband didn't answer her right away, but he looked around the place and looked at the people, scratched his head, and finally said, "Yeah, he'd be here with us. Or maybe at a homeless shelter somewhere." "That's what bothers me," Harriet said. "When I first got here, I felt so sorry for these people, because they probably aren't going home tonight to neighborhoods where the houses have candles in the windows, wreaths on the door, and lots of red and green. And listening to that terrible music from the jukebox, I thought, oh, I bet nobody here has ever heard of Handel. But now I think more than any place I know, this is where Christmas is. But maybe I don't belong here." Well, they finished their dinner, and as they walked to the car, her husband put his arm around her and said, "Hey, remember what the angel said? I bring good news of great joy to all people. Merry Christmas to everyone." I'm going to ask in just a minute that the ushers would come forward. Got your candles. We're going to have the ushers light their candles, and what I'd like everyone else to do is to form a circle with your candles, please. You don't need your hymnals, around the church, and we're going to start the circle here and here, and we're going to go all the way around. So if everybody could rise and start to form a circle. And if the ushers would please light your candles from the chalice. And once we get everybody in a circle, we'll start the light going around. Our journeys have all begun in separate places, in cities and towns and even countries far and near. We have different lifestyles and beliefs, different hopes and dreams, but together we form a family of acceptance, hope, and love.
We have come together out of the cold and the dark to fill this sanctuary with songs and stories and the warmth of people willing to share of themselves during this glorious season. Our hope is that here we have found light. Here we have found a measure of peace.
Here we have found a bit of the happiness and strength we all need to continue. Let us share the light of these candles and the light of the world as we dedicate ourselves to sharing with one another and with all the others in our world. In a moment, we're going to join in singing Silent Night. We're just going to do the first verse twice. For anyone who wants it, we do have coffee in the social lounge.